Welcome to CWH. My dad, Pastor Salem, preached the Word of God and encouraged his viewers and listeners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, honor Him, and have a personal relationship with Him. I'm Mike Salem. We are so happy you could be with us today. Thank you for the notes, letters, and online comments you send our way. From Michigan, we heard, "Thank you for opening my heart and soul to CWH. This sinner needed help to see Jesus to be able to move on with my life. Please accept this amount for helping me to see the light and love of Jesus." In today's message, "What Must I Not Do to Be Saved?" my dad expresses the way to heaven is Jesus. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, the Lord has tarried another week, and so we are here to gather around the throne of grace. And all over the world, we're all drawn to one place, and that's the feet of Jesus at the throne of Jesus, and we're gathered to worship Him. And if you don't know Jesus, we just pray that in this service you'll come to personally know Him, not just know about Him, but know Him personally, and then you'll be part of the family of God. So we're just praying that God will have His way in every heart and every life. We're looking at Psalm chapter 19 today, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, the wonderful, precious Word of God. You've told us that Thy Word is forever settled in heaven and that it will never change. This world will change. St. Peter says, this world is going to be taken and dissolved in fire and be gone. And there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, but it'll be the same Word of God. And that's how secure we are, Lord. And so we thank You for Your wonderful, wonderful Word. We pray that in our service today, many will come to know You, and that we will also, as You told Isaiah, comfort ye my people, and may we comfort many. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing for us, "Only Jesus." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I was once a poor lost sinner, a shepherdless sheep gone astray. I had no hope, I had no peace, until the day I called out His name. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus, He's all I need. I called out to Him and I was saved. I may falter, but if I fall, He will lift me up if I you're adrift, wandering this world, a ship beyond sight of the shore. Just seek His face and the gift of grace, forevermore will be yours. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus, He's all you need. Call out Jesus. Just say, I believe only Jesus. You're all I need. Pray, Lord, come in and take away my sin. Oh, I am yours and you are my King. Only Jesus. Only Jesus.
Thank you, Melissa. And that's the nail on the head right there. It's Jesus. Jesus said, he was talking to his disciples, and he told them about heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And then so Thomas says, oh, yes, I want to go to heaven. But Jesus, I don't have a road map. I don't know the way. How do I get to heaven? And Jesus says, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he got very narrow. And he said, no man cometh unto me. Nobody gets into heaven except through me. So the way to heaven is, I spend all my life in the church. I love the church, but the church can't save you. The way to heaven isn't church and isn't works and isn't ritual or anything else. The way to heaven is a person, Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you'll never get to heaven. But you can have him, and as Melissa just saying, only Jesus, that's all. You don't have to be circumcised and confirmed and all of the rest of it and go through a lot of lessons and all the rest. It's just Jesus alone. And you say, dear Jesus, I just love you, Lord, and I got a lot of sins, and I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you, Lord, the best I can, and thank you, Jesus. And you just pray that. I had a man pray that not too long ago. He didn't know anything about church, and he didn't know anything about Jesus, but he wanted to go to heaven, so he called on the name of the Lord. And when he came to the end of the little prayer, he said, goodbye. He didn't know he was supposed to say amen. He said amen. Who cares? God's looking at the heart. And that man was born again. So it's Jesus. Well, we have some nice letters, and we always like to share those letters. And so listen to this one. Dear Lodge, Montana, this is a federal prison. I know we have at least heard from 15 different prisoners from Dear Lodge, Montana. And this man writes, I'm a 62-year-old Mexican mafia member who, after 25 years, converted over to Christianity. I have found the Lord, and I get ridiculed because of it. The Lord has showed me his power, even though I'm in prison. Good things have happened to me in here. If the Lord can save me, he's got the power to save anyone. Even though I get a lot of flack, I will not for nothing in this mortal world give up my faith in my Lord. God bless you. Keep up the good program on Sundays. And isn't that a blessing to hear from that man? I just couldn't help but cry when I read that. And he says that he's such a terrible sinner. Well, let me tell you what St. Paul said. St. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. He's worse than this man in the prison here that's writing. Paul says, I'm the chief. And the Lord can save the chief. He can save all the rest. Oh, that's why I love to preach. Nobody is beyond salvation. You just got to come to Jesus. And we're going to talk about that. I've got a sermon on what I should not do to be saved. Not do to be saved. You ever hear a sermon on that? Well, you'll never hear another one like it again. So be staying. Listen to this thing. But let's look at some more letter. Newfoundland, Minnesota. My husband is 86 and I'm 75. He was a concerned boyfriend. He asked me if I was a born-again Christian. 5 months later, I gave my heart to Christ. We've been married 53 and a half years. Praise the Lord. And you young people, I'm going to tell you, you boys and you girls, the men and the women both, it'd be a good thing to ask them if they know Jesus before you hook up with them. Be asking them if they know Jesus, because that's what the Lord says. You should marry a Christian. And some of these Christians are hard enough to live with, and you get an unsaved one, it's impossible. So get a Christian at least. Here's one from Alaska, Wasilla, Alaska. I can't leave home, so I enjoy your program. And that's why we're so happy, because we always have in mind the shut-ins, people that can't get out. And some of them are lonely, some are depressed, some don't have friends, but they have Jesus. And that's what Jesus told Isaiah. He says, comfort ye, my people. And the Christian Worship Hour is there to comfort God's people. And of course, the main thing is to glorify God, but is to always, we always pray for the shut-ins. And a lady wrote in not long ago and says, I never hear anybody pray for shut-ins except you. Well, you can count on the Christian Worship Hour. We got you on our heart. Well, let's see. Here's Pleasant Hill, Missouri. Enjoy your ministry very much. Please continue as long as God wills. It is rare nowadays to hear anyone preaching from the Bible. Does my spirit good to hear your message about God's love for all of us and about Jesus and his saving grace? Please accept this for your ministry. And so that's what people are saying. Is there any word from God? Does God have anything to worry? Have you heard any word from the politicians? Don't you get tired of it? I shut it off. I can just take so much and I start getting sick. But we hear a lot from the politicians. Well, is any word from God? You bet there is. And you stay with us and you'll get it whether you like it or not and agree with it or not. And, you know, and that doesn't bother me if you got upset, because it's what God says. So you're mad at God, not me. So I'm free. Here's Crystal Lake, Illinois. I listen to you every Sunday. You preach the gospel as it should be preached. I'm 97 years old, and I'm jealous of this man. He's a year older than I am, so I'm jealous of him. I sinned right there. I'm 97 years old and loving my Lord who loved me and died for me. You and I are maybe old in age, but young in the Lord. Yeah, betcha. I'm longing for heaven. Seems I cannot wait. All my loved ones are with the Lord. May you stay on television till Jesus comes. God bless you. That's my prayer. Isn't that a nice letter? That's from a gentleman. Here's New York City. I just wanted to bless you, my family in Christ. Thank you for continuing so faithfully and humbly in furthering the gospel of Jesus with such simplicity. Here in New York City, where I live and work as Broadway performer, it's been difficult finding other young adults aiming to live for Jesus. I'm going to write a letter for some advice. I just wanted to send off a gift to you as soon as possible. Well, I just couldn't wait, and I called this young lady. She's in her 20s. She loves Jesus, and we're helping her. She's going to learn about Jesus, more about Jesus, living for Jesus. Just wonderful, that wonderful gospel. Nobody is beyond the reach of God's love. Here's Winter Haven, Florida. I'm always blessed when I listen to the Christian Worship Hour. I pray to God to give you the health and strength to keep doing what God sent you to do and keep you on the air for the sake of the Christians. Please pray for the Optic Christians in Egypt. And we do pray for the persecuted church, and every week we pray for a different country. And we'll pray for another country this week and when we come to that point in the service. Here's Modesto, California. I like this letter. I love your teaching on the weekend. However, I do wish for a product list. If you would please send me one. Stay strong in the Word. God bless you. Here's the part I like. In 1983, I named my second son Harold. Smartest thing she ever did. And he would just love that name. But I'm so glad my mother named me Harold, because that's what everybody calls me. So it just worked out perfect. I don't know why I don't have more Harolds, but we'll, just a few of us, we'll make up for it. Let's see, here's one more that I want to share. Oh, you'll love this. This is Trinidad, West Indies. Thank you for sending me correspondence every month. Enjoyed John 3:16 very much. That is, the new song was on John 3:16. I listened to it. No, I intend to teach it at Sunday school. Please send me your packet. Can a Christian lose their salvation? Your brother in Christ. And this is a listener in Trinidad, and he listens to our shortwave radio broadcast, that covers Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, and the top half of South America. And did you know that with shortwave, we reach 90% of the world's population with the gospel? Isn't that glorious? And here's this dear brother in Trinidad, and he's going to use our new song. Now, the new song is a little Bible study that we have every month. And this month of October, and we're talking about God's harvest, God's great harvest. And every month it's a different study. We have people use this for Bible studies, for Sunday school. We have them in nursing homes, and we just talked yesterday to a nursing home that uses it for their folks, as they have for church. That's called the New Song. It's free charge. And we ought to pay for it. We ought to charge for it, really, because it is so good. We should have subscription rates for it. But we are so good-hearted. We're just so good-hearted. We send it free. And we're going to send it free till we go broke. So just write in. You get in on it, and I know you'll get blessed from it. And also, he's writing about your booklet, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is, no, you cannot. And it's about a 12-page little booklet, and it's all God's Word. It's the Bible, over and over and over. And if you can read that and still think you're lost, write to me and I'll eat my hat. Well, I can't. I don't have a hat. But it's just God's Word. It's not what I think. It's not what I had a dream and I had a vision and all that. It's just what God does God say. And God says, I hold you in my hand and you'll never perish. I don't hold on to Jesus. Jesus holds on to me. If I was going to hold on to him, I might lose my mind and I couldn't hold on to him. I might drift into sin. Can't hold on him. He holds me. Like one old farmer friend of mine wrote in and says, his grip don't slip. And that's exactly it. You're safe. So, all right, now you write to us. And we'll send you the new song. We'll send you this little booklet on salvation. And we have another booklet. Can a Christian who commits suicide be lost? The answer is no, you can't. You're saved. And you write to us, and you write the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. Now, for all of our folks on our shortwave, that's box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. And then if you can send us a gift, do that. But pray for us above all things. Tell other people about the telecast or the shortwave. And then we'll, and if you can help us financially, that's fine. And you say, well, I'm way over here in Trinidad, and I'm way in Norway here, or England. Had a call from London, England. Visited with a man from London, England the other day, and not sure of his salvation. And so you can send us, I'll tell you what you can do. You get the Christian Worship Hour. Get away on our website, christianworshiphour.com. And then it says, you look on there and say, donate. And you punch donate. And then you can give any amount of money in your money, whatever your country is. We'll get it in American money and we'll pay our bills. And so we just love to hear from you. And as a matter of fact, our only source of income is God's people. So you pray and ask God if you should send something. And if so, then ask him how much and he'll tell you. Maybe he'll want you to. There are other good programs where the gospel is preached. Maybe you want to support them. But if you just ask about the Christian Worship Hour, that's what we're interested in now. And I want to tell you this too. We are a member. It's an international organization and they check our books. It's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books, and you can't believe how they rummage around in our stuff. Made me nervous. But they did leave my sermons alone. I was very thankful for that. They didn't get into my sermons. They come to think of it, they didn't even ask about my sermons. But anyway, they checked all of the money we get and all the money we spend. Where do you spend it? And we had to clear the bar, and we did, and we're proud of it. So now this is what we're going to do. Jan's going to play. And I'm going to pray, and you give as God lays on your heart. And then we'll go or come or go, whatever it is, it's all in the Lord's hands, isn't it? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all of those who support us through prayers, telling others, and through their gifts. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Luke chapter 15 today, beginning with the 11th verse. And this is a story that Jesus gave, one parable Jesus gave. And I think you're all familiar with it, but we want to review it. And Jesus said, he asked, certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine did eat, and no man gave him unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I sinned against heaven and against in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. So let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel, because that's what the gospel tells us. No matter how much we've sinned, no matter where we've gone, no matter the depth of sin, doesn't make a bit of difference to you, because when dear Jesus went on that cross and he shed his blood and he said, it is finished, he meant that our redemption was complete, it was finished, that he paid the price for all the sins of the world. And that's why he shed, it was great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, not because he was afraid of the cross, because he wasn't. He was a joy, he was looking to the cross, but he shed his blood in that Garden of Gethsemane because he was taking the sins of all the world into his holy, precious, pure body. And no wonder he agonized nigh unto death and then did die on the cross and paid for all those sins. And we thank you that so we can preach the gospel, that anyone who wants to come can come, and that you'll give them eternal life and you wash away their sins. And we pray today many will come to you, Lord, that they won't make excuses, but they'll come. Lord, today we want to pray that you, for the persecuted church in Sudan. We just pray every week, we pray for a different part of your family, Lord. They're part of our family. And all we think of, the children left behind. And Lord, what a struggle it is. And we know you love the little children. You took the little children. You blessed the little children. And you said that all the little children were in part of your kingdom. And so just take care of them. I know you will, and the widows, Lord, and the grandparents, all of the family members. And these are hard times, but they're glorious times because there we have those people that are so dedicated to you that they absolutely refuse to reject Jesus Christ, and they, even though it costs them their life, they stand up for you. And help us to be brave, and help us to strong, and help us not to fuss when some little thing happens to us. Help us to be strong in the Lord. So this is your service, Lord. We pray you'll bless it and use it to your honor and glory. In the Savior's name, amen. We're glad to have Barb with us. She's going to sing Love Lifted Me. And God bless you, Barb.
Was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling, in his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs, faithful living service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me, nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Well, thank you, Barb. And you know, it is always wonderful when we hear songs and when we talk about the wonderful love of God. And there are some people that say, well, I don't know, there's nobody loves me, I'm an outcast, nobody knows about me. But God loves you and he knows all about you, and he loved you so much, if you would have been the only person in the world, his son would have died for your sins. And that's why I love to preach, because I can tell people there's no one beyond God's love until you death. And once death comes to your door and you pass over that line, then it's all settled, and you're in heaven or you're in hell. And it's your choice. Nobody can choose it for you, because that's what I'm going to preach about today. What must I not do to be saved? And by the way, you can get this sermon on DVDs or CDs. And I'll give you the address at the close of the service. And you may have a friend you want to hear this message. Maybe it'll help them to think. Maybe help them to turn. What must I not do to be saved? And so we come to the right away. And I asked a person that one time, a young person, if he was saved. And he says, in a derisive way, saved? What do you mean saved? I'm not drowning. And so, you see, we have to start right away and tell you what we mean by being saved. And St. Paul tells us what it is. He says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to forgive Israel is that they might be saved." And so when he talks about that, he's talking about your soul, not your body, your soul. And your soul is going to live forever, forever in heaven or hell. And when we say, "Are you saved?" we mean, your soul, is it saved? Is it secure? Is it in Jesus? Because you see, your soul is lost. When we come to the age of accountability, we're under the judgment of God, and we have to make a decision whether we want Jesus or not. And if we don't take Jesus, then we take the devil. See, the Jesus wants your soul and the devil wants your soul. And so you say, "Oh, I don't. Well, who's going to make the decision for me?" You make the decision. Your wife doesn't do it. Your husband doesn't do it. The pastor doesn't do it. Your parents don't do it. You have to make that decision yourself. And so what I'm really asking you is, where do you want to spend eternity? You want to spend it in hell, where Jesus says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? Or do you want to spend it in heaven, where St. Paul said he had a glimpse of heaven? And he said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." So we're talking about your soul, your eternal soul. And listen to me, friends, you decide where it goes. God doesn't decide. He says, "I'm going to give you a decision. You can come to Jesus or you can go to the hell. You can go with the devil. You choose yourself about being to the Lord." And so it has to be decided in this life, because when we come to the end of life, there are no more changes. Now you can change. You belong. We've sinned, so we're in the devil's camp. And we, to get out of the devil's camp, we have to have the light of the world. We have to Jesus. And like Barr saying, this love of God lifted us out of the pit, lifted out of the sin, and He gave us eternal life. But we have to choose that. Choose today who you will serve. And sometimes we don't choose what God wants us all to be saved. It says in 1 Peter, God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. And so there's a battle for your soul, and it ends up with heaven or hell. So I want to preach a little bit here about what I must not do, what I must not do to be saved. And the first thing is, you cannot expect God to believe for you. You have to make a decision yourself. Nobody else can decide from you. I know I get letters from people, and we have a college here in Aberdeen, and they'll say, "My son, my daughter just went to college there, and I'm concerned about her. I'm concerned about him. Will you talk to him about his soul or about her soul? Will you try to talk to her?" And I'll say, "Well, what's your name?" "Oh, I can't give you my name." So how am I going to go and talk to her or to him? And so nobody can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to make that decision. God isn't going to do your part. He's going to have you to do that. And then God wants you to repent, and He can't do that for you either. And repentance simply means that you turn from your old ways and you walk with the Lord. In Acts 16, verse 30, the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And then in Acts 17, 30, Paul preaches from in Mars Hill, and he says that God wants all men everywhere to repent. And so when we repent, it just simply means we turn from that old way and we turn to Jesus and we walk with Jesus the best we can. And it doesn't mean we're perfect, because nobody's perfect. There was only one perfect person, and that's the dear Lord Jesus. But we, every time we fail, we ask Jesus to forgive us. And in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He'll forgive us our sins. And we go to Jesus and say, "Dear Jesus, I've failed. I've failed at awful times. I've failed 100 times over." And there He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My grace is greater than all of your sins. And you just confess them. And when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I was 10 years old. And he forgave me all of my sins. And he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he forgave Adam's sin that I was born with. And then I started living for the Lord. And then I told a lie. Or maybe I tried to cheat in school. Or I got mad at the milk cows. I know I did that. More than once. And then it's, oh, now I'm lost. I got sin again. No, you don't have any, you don't have that sin that loses your soul. You have that sin that loses your fellowship with God, see. And saying, yes, dear Jesus, I forgot. I lost my temper and I kicked that old cow. And she didn't even know it. I was barefooted. I broke my toe, but she didn't even know it. But I know I sinned and he forgives me. And over and over and over, he forgives me. And I thought if I just could control my temper, I'd have all my sins forgiven. I wouldn't need to worry. But I found out something. When I get close to Jesus, the closer I get to Jesus, the more sins I see in my life. And so I'm confessing all the time and every day. But you have to do that. He can't confess his sins, your sins for you. And then you shouldn't expect a more opportune time. And this is where the devil comes in. And the devil, he'll never tell you not to accept Jesus. All right, now you're all right. You're up against it right now. I'm telling you, you have to have Jesus to go to heaven. But you have to receive Jesus. And you have to right now, you're saying, well, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I've had him do that. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Or then they'll say, well, I don't want to either side. I don't want to offend anybody. But Jesus answered that. He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. So if you don't choose me, then you're against me, automatically against me. But the third thing they can do, and this comes from the devil, he says, you just put it off. You just wait, see? So Jesus is telling us, God is telling us, now is the accepted time. Listen to Elijah. He got the people, and he challenges them. In 1 Kings 18:21, and he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. If the Lord be God, follow Jesus. If you have Baal, you want to follow him, follow the devil. It's a choice. It's black and white, and there isn't any middle ground. And Elijah said, choose it now. Don't wait. You don't know if you have another day. You may have 96 years like I have. You may not have another hour. I may not have another minute. I may not get through this sermon. Don't turn this thing off. I might die while I'm preaching. And now you hear these preachers and they say, oh, I want to die in the pulpit. And I think that is the dumbest thing I ever heard. They want to die in the pulpit. What would that do to the little children out there? You die in the pulpit. You know what I tell those guys? I says, well, listen, you come over Monday morning and you can die in my pulpit and I'll call the mortician for you. Don't want to die in the pulpit. I don't want to die in the pulpit. But how would that affect my little children in my church? And so we just don't put it off. But I'm going to die sometime. You're going to die sometime. And you don't know when, and I don't know when. And thank God we don't. So don't put it off. And that's what the devil wants you to do. Put it off. Put it off. Isaiah says, come now, right now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. And then another thing you must not do. You must not try another way to heaven. Because Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You go out and you ask 10 people. And just check this for the fun of it. And ask them if they're going to heaven. And they'll probably say yes. And then you say why, and they'll tell you something they did, some nice thing they did. They didn't kick the dog, or they didn't hit their wife, probably was scared of her, didn't hit her, or whatever. I don't know I don't know about your home life. I don't know what it's like. But they'll think it'll boil down good works. I did something, see? And God tells us in Ephesians, just as plain as day, not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us. And Paul says in Romans, to him that worketh not, but believeth. And after you believe, then you work. See? And what they do, they got the cart before the horse. And so they think they work and they'll get saved. But they're wrong. They get saved and then they work. There's a place for works. But it's not to get saved. It's because you're saved, see. And so don't try another way. And I hear these people, one of the great teachings is that heaven is up on the top of a hill. It's a city on a hill. And it's a beautiful city. And we're all going there. And there's paths all around this mountain. And whatever path you take, you'll get to heaven. We're all aiming at the same place. Well, you know, when I was young, a fella brought me a shotgun and took me pheasant hunting. And I was supposed to shoot a pheasant. Well, I aimed at a lot of things that I didn't get. And you aim at heaven, but it doesn't mean you're going to get there. And Jesus was very narrow-minded about it. And he said, there's only one way. And this makes people mad. Because they always have their ideas. If they be a whole different to all the religions in the world. How many religions in the world? And they all are right. They all going to heaven. They all go. But you got to go their path, their way. Well, Jesus said, you want to believe me. You want to believe what God says. There's only one way, one door, Jesus Christ. When that God made that Noah and he made that ark and he took all the people and he took all the animals and put it in that ark. And then he took Noah and his family. And then you know what it says? It had one door and God closed the door. Noah didn't slam the door shut. God closed it. And there's one door. And one of these days he's going to close it on you. And you don't know when it is. And you're very foolish if you put it off. You should come to Jesus right now. And then there's another thing. Don't listen to what other people say. You says, well, I got a preacher that says that I can just live like the dogs or the hogs or whatever it is. Because God loves everybody, we're all going to heaven. He never preaches about hell. He doesn't believe in hell. Well, that isn't going to make a bit of difference whether he believes that or not. Don't listen to what everybody's got. What does it say in the first psalm? It says that there's a way of the counsel. He that sitteth on the seat of the scornful and the way of the scornful. There's always there. There's somebody to give you advice, false advice on how to be saved. You do this, you do that. It always works. You know something? Of all the religions in the world, there's only one religion has grace and the love of God, and that's Christianity. That's Jesus. And I love the church. I've spent 62 years preaching in the church, and then I went on television and I'm preaching, and somebody asked me one time, says, well, you don't have a congregation now. How do you like preaching to a microphone? I tell them, I kind of like it. Never talks back, doesn't go to sleep, doesn't scowl at me. I kind of like it. But don't pay attention to what people say. And they'll have all kinds of ideas, but there's only one way, and that's Jesus. And I remember Harry Ironside. He accepted the Lord. He became a great Bible scholar and a great preacher. And he accepted Jesus when he was a boy. And his mother says, now, Harry, when you go to school, you tell them that you accepted Jesus. And so then that night he came home and says, Harry, did you tell the boys you accepted Jesus? No, I didn't, Mom. How come you didn't tell them that? Because they'd laugh at me. And Harry Iron says, my mother says, Harry, the boys can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. And you watch out what you're listening to. And you better listen to what God says, that holy word of God. And God says there's one way to heaven, and that's my son, Jesus. And I love you so much, I let my son die for you. I wouldn't let my son die for anybody. But God did, because he is, and I have a finite love. I can't love like God. God has an infinite love, and he gave his son, his only son, to die for the sins of other people. His son was perfect. And you better go that route. Don't look for another route. Those are things not to do. So what should you do? What must I do? First of all, repent. And we talked about that. John the Baptist began his public ministry by preaching repentance. Christ continued and gave a call to repentance. When Jesus sent out the 12, he said to teach them repentance. Jesus sent out the 70, he says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Luke 24, verse 47. Over and over, he teaches that we must be repentance. And what does repentance mean? It means a change of mind. We change our mind, and it means that we change our mind about sin, and we change our mind about God, and we change our mind about turning to God. And there must be sorrow for sin, and that's all right, but it doesn't save you. Sorrow, you might be sorrowful because you're caught, and you're sorry for your sins, but you have to turn from your sins. And you may go back the old way. You may get tripped up and go back. And when that happens, you ask Jesus to forgive you, and you get up and you start over. And you said, but I've done that 5 times. Then do it 6 times. Do 60 times. Do it 600 times. But never give up and ask God to forgive you, and He'll forgive you every time, because my God's grace is greater than all of my sin. Repent and then believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you believe? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He died for my sins, and He was raised from the grave. I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in my works and on my baptism, and I've got a whole list a mile long, and every religion's got their own dumb list. There's only one thing, and that is to be accept Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then accept Him. And Jesus says, as many as received Him, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become something they weren't. He gave them power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God until you receive Jesus. I hear these politicians saying, we're all the children of God. No, we are not. We're all the creation of God. But we're only those who receive Jesus are His children. Over and over it's taught. You got to have Jesus. And then confess. Let people know. Go to work and stand up for Jesus. And let Jesus shine in your life. You have to have Jesus. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care how far your sins are. And maybe you've accepted Jesus and you drifted away. It's easy to drift. I've slipped in my Christian life and come back. And maybe you're way off the track. And you say, oh, God will never take me. Like Peter, he denied Jesus. And I know Peter says, I blew it. He's done with me. He'll never talk to me again. Jesus recommissioned him. Jesus, when Peter said, I love you, and he confessed his sins. And God, I recommissioned him. And Peter walked with Jesus until his death. Max Lucado tells a true story. This is a true story. And is written in his book, No Wonder They Call Him the Savior. And in this book, he relates a touching story about a mother named Maria and her daughter, Christina. And they lived in a poor village in Brazil. Maria's husband died when Christina was an infant. So the mother got a job as a maid in order to support herself and Christina. And there weren't any luxuries about, but they got by. For 15 years, everything went rather well. But now Christina became a teenager, and teenagers often have minds of their own. And Christina was not interested in marrying young and raising a family like most of the other girls that she grew up with. Not that she couldn't have had her pick of husbands. Her olive skin and brown eyes, as well as her infectious personality, kept a steady stream of prospects at her door. But she kept them all at arm's length. Christina wanted to go to the city. She dreamed of trading her dusty neighborhood for exciting avenues and city life. Just the thought of this horrified Maria. People don't know you there, she said, with desperation in her voice. Jobs are scarce and life is cruel. And besides, if you went there, what would you do for a living? And this is what horrified Maria the most. Maria knew exactly what Christina would have to do to make a living. And that's why her heart broke when she awoke one morning to find her daughter's cot empty. Christina had gone, and Maria knew where. And so Maria set out immediately to bring her back. Maria threw some clothes in a bag, gathered up all of her money, and ran out of the house, but not before she had an inspired idea. On her way to the bus stop, she paused at a drugstore, and she entered a photograph booth and spent all the money she could afford on pictures of herself. and with a purse full of small black and white photos, she boarded the bus to Rio de Janeiro. And there Maria began her search for her daughter, Christina. Knowing that what a girl would have to do to support herself in this cruel city, Maria began the bars and the hotels and the nightclubs, any place with a reputation for streetwalkers or prostitutes. She went to them all. And at each place, she left her picture, taped it on a bathroom mirror, tacked it to a hotel bulletin board, fastened on a phone corner phone booth, and on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. It wasn't too long before both the money and the pictures ran out, and Maria had to go home. And as she wept, she got the bus on her way home. She took her small, went back to her small village. And a few weeks later, Christina descended a flight of hotel steps, and her young face was tired, and her brown eyes no longer danced with youth but spoke of her pain and fear. Her laughter was broken, and her dream had become a nightmare. 1,000 times over, she'd longed to trade those countless beds for her secure cot at home. Yet the little village was in too many ways too far away. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, she noticed a familiar face. She looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a small picture of her mother. Christina's eyes turned and burned, and her throat tightened as she walked across the room, removed the small photo. And on the back was this compelling invitation. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home. And she did. And so can you, and so can I. God will take us back. Perhaps from now on in our imagination, every time you see a cross or see a snapshot of God, and on the back of every cross we can see these words and hear these words, whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter, please come home. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, I'm talking to you today. The way is wide open and God is waiting for you to come. And whether you want to come to be saved and for salvation, or whether you want to come for restoration, you've drifted away. You come home. You can come home if you want to, if you will. And this is how you come. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you've done, you just say in your own words, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I want to come home. And dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'm accepting you right now, and you're making me your child." And as you've told us in John 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." The minute you believe, you have everlasting life. Jesus said that. And Jesus went on and he said, "And shall not come into condemnation." That is, you won't go into hell, but you pass from death unto life. You're going to heaven. You can come. Is God talking to your heart today? I know that all over the world he's saying to you, "Come home. I want you home. My arms are open." And you just pray and you say, "I never prayed before." Just talk to God. Tell him what I told you. And then you write to us if you possibly can. And we'll send you literature to get started in the Christian life. In the meantime, take the Gospel of John and read the Gospel of John and find a church where they're preaching the Bible and get back to God. He's loving you and he's waiting for you, just like that father waited for his son, and he threw open his arms and took him to himself and celebrated. God's waiting for you. You come. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you write to us and we'll send you literature. And then you should write to us and help us in this work. If you think this is something of the Lord, then you need to help us. Have to have your help. you write to us there, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just praying today that you'll speak to many hearts. I know there are thousands right now coming to Jesus. And just give them strength and help them to find the way and draw walk with you. Lord, to the children, the little children, they understand these things. Help them to come into to Jesus. To the teenagers making decisions, help them to put you at the top of the list for every decision they have to make. Lord, for those who have young families and those maybe having trouble in the home and those who may be addicted to something, help them to call on your name and you'll give them strength they never had before. And to those that are lonely and those that are sick and those who are bedridden and those who are in wheelchairs and those that can't get out and nobody sees them, help them to know you are there, right there all the time, day and night, and you never slumber nor sleep. Give them comfort and strength. Oh, Jesus, we love you. You are so wonderful. And we thank you that we have that message and it comes from the heart of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking for you now. We got the address there. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And you be sure you get with Jesus because he's waiting for you and he'll take you back. And then we'll all rejoice someday when our work is done. And we'll all go to heaven and we'll enter that wonderful city of God. And Jesus will be there to take us himself. He'll take us through the valley of the shadow of death into heaven. We'll never be alone. We'll all be together forever. And won't that be something? God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.